Hello there, welcome again to Seven Laws Blog UK. I'm David, and today's post is going to be called My Purpose. Again, My Purpose. Quote, the end of the matter, all having been heard, fear God, namely, do whatever you can with your heart to heaven and keep his commandments, for this is the purpose of the creation of all men. That's from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13, and that's from the Rashi Ketuvim by Rabbi Shraga Silverstein at safaria.org. That's where that translation can be found, or that version. End quote. Every now and again, I reveal in this blog some of my thoughts about life, the act of living my life. There is a dark place known as my heart, the inner recesses of my mind, and it's not a happy place. That's not to say I don't see joy in life. I do. There can be such beauty in it, and by beauty, I don't mean pretty things that pull my eyes, my attention, but rather I speak of parts of life that fill me with a direction, a meaning. But, you know, one of my favourite books in the Jewish Bible, possibly my favourite, is Ecclesiastes. It's been my favourite for a long time. Just a second verse. Let me read the second verse. Vanities of vanities, says the public speaker. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities. All is vanity. That's from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. From the Jewish Publication Society from 1917. I altered it a bit. That's how I used to read it, using the Old English. But the word vanity doesn't mean too much to me. Or at least the word vanity had various meanings that I didn't think fit with the text. I mean, vanity nowadays means something selfish and conceited. As a song goes, you're so vain, I bet you think this song is about you. It's a pop song that's about, but you know, it just shows how selfish a person can be. You're so vain, I bet you think this song is about you. But I did mention Old English, right? As a Christian, I mainly used the King James Bible, but without a dictionary of the 17th century from which that Bible comes, I used that Bible, but without a dictionary from the 17th century. So that leads to issues with understanding right there. I later found out from different resources, like old English dictionaries, and those sources would tell me that vanity in the King James Bible referred to something empty, worthless, of no substance, ineffectual. The Hebrew word translated vanity has a primary meaning of breath, vapor, air. There's a useful commentary on this word and its usage in Genesis 4 verse 2 by a rabbi called David Kimshi, or shortened to Radak, that relates to how it's used in Ecclesiastes. When commenting on why the first woman, Hava, whose name has been butchered into a word that sounds like Eve. So, when this first woman, called her son Hevel, again mutilated into Abel, so at that occasion, Radak wrote something like this. Perhaps the reason why Chava called the second son Hevel is an allusion to Psalm 62 verse 10, where it says, men are mere breath, mortal illusions. Perhaps Chava expressed her realization that even the good found in this material world may prove short-lived, illusory. That's again from Safaria.org. Now, just a small aside, yes, mutilating somebody's name with the excuse of translating it into English or some other language, that's a pet peeve of mine. And just in case you don't know what pet peeve means, that means something irritating and vexatious that's personal to me, something that I find irritating. So the old English definition of vanity fits well with the meaning of Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, well enough anyway. Actually, there is a translation of this verse by Bruce Haitler from Safaria.org that resonates with me. This is his translation of that verse. Only vanishing mist, vapour, says the collector of wisdom. Evanescence and mere appearance, everything is a vanishing mist. Everything is a vanishing mist. I find that to be beautiful. But this is how I live through life generally. As I tell others, life, living, is something I do, not something I enjoy. It's a chore that I do, that I must do, simply to finish it and get to the end. I've been asked by a work colleague if I'm depressed or if I suffer from depression. I honestly don't know. I don't feel sad or down. I allow a sense of craziness to fill my language and the way I'm perceived by others to add levity to the day. A twist of language, letting the monotonous mundane seem hilarious, new, or something to be studied and understood, and life can be a laugh, or something I can spend time focusing on. It doesn't negate the inevitable heel chained to a trotting horse drag of life. But at least I can be distracted somewhat. And in my previous post, I mentioned the nihilism, the sense of inevitability, of fatalism, if you will, that I feel when seeing even good people praise and or support a system that guarantees immorality and injustice. A good friend of mine expressed that nihilism is a godless philosophy. One aspect of nihilism is that existence is meaningless, and thus my friend is definitely right. How can there be meaninglessness with a purposeful creator of everything? A contradiction in terms, right? But on applying to my friend, at least sharing with him the sense of purposelessness I tend to feel, he shared some essential curative advice to me, which amazingly also echoed in that favourite Bible book of mine. This is what my friend said. You have something more important in life than just making money, advancing a career, or worrying about kids and your wife. You have a higher calling, a higher purpose. Yes, you do. You are obligated to follow the seven commands because they are eternal commands of God. Everything else is secondary. And that friend of mine, maybe without knowing, had nudged my mind to the verse that sits atop this post, or that this post began with. And I don't mind quoting it again. It says, "The end of the matter, all having been heard, fear God, namely do whatever you can with your heart to heaven, and keep his commandments, for this is the purpose of the creation of all men." Or in the other version, once again by Bruce Haitler, I like his version, it says, "The end of the thing, when everything has been heard, is to be in awe of God and observe his commandments. For this is all a person is. I like that. But why should this message matter to me? I'll put it the best way I can for now. Because when I was younger, when I started writing songs about my Christian faith, when I started getting serious about finding truth, focusing on God's truth always lifted me from myself. Tuning my thoughts, my mind, to the greater than I, the true beyonder. This let me know that behind everything was a trusted hand, a plan, an all-encompassing. And this helped me on both an emotional and intellectual level. It wasn't just about feeling better, but knowing better. I would have my problems, I'd get hurt, I'd do stupid things and reap their bitter fruit. But there was always a foundation of, you know, I can't find a word for that. It's just, anyway, it's God, you know? It's the primal cause, the reason. And since I'm no prophet, and I don't hear from God directly, finding a path laid out for me, from Him, something beyond my subjectivity, that is a blessing. I don't care if it's perceived as only seven laws, it's still a message from the Creator that He's not the utter stupidity of the atheist. He's not the devotion to ignorance of the agnostic, and he's not the neglectful, abandoning, mental idol of the deist. He's the very basis of reality. But it's not as if I'm gleeful. I'm not cured. It's not like, yay, I'm happy now. A grin neither fills my mouth nor my heart. I think I still have some pondering to do. Maybe it needs to sink deeper into me. Maybe I'm just not getting the fullness of it. But maybe I've got enough. No, I do have enough to keep me going. I have a purpose, a good one. And it's not about some afterlife. It's about the steps I take now. And you know what? For me, that is good. And that's it. That's the post. Thanks for your time, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you very much.